One of the things that Christians get accused of being is narrow-minded. You get accused of being narrow-minded because we say there is one way. But actually our culture rebels against that, rejects that entirely, and says, no, there's not just one way, there's loads of different ways. You can measure the shadow, you can drop it off the top, you can mark up the stairwell, you can do so many different things. And our culture, our generation, our society will tell you all the time, you can do any different thing that you want. There's many different ways to do life. There's many different ways to be happy. There's no such thing as an absolute morality. There's no such thing as a path to meaning and happiness. It's you do you. And if it feels good, just do it. Don't be restricted. Don't be narrow. But actually, that's a mistake. And if you look at the Niels Bohr story and say, well, that is an example of how there's loads of different ways of approaching life's problems, actually, you have not understood that story. Because although in that story there's 5, 6, 7 different scientific methods, there's only 2 ways. What Niels Bohr demonstrated and illustrated in that little incident is that there's 2 separate, distinct ways. It's just that one of the ways has loads of different variations on it, but it's all basically the same thing, namely this. The first way that you can tackle this problem is using your own resources, using your own intellect, using your own skill, using the scientific method, whether that's dropping or pendulums or whatever, and there's probably a whole host of other things, but they all boil down to the same approach, which is I'm using my skill, my ability, my resources, my academic ingenuity to solve my problem. But the final one that he ends up with is completely a different approach. And that is saying this. The alternative is you go to a person. You look to someone else. You ask for help. One is all about how great I am and how good I am and I can feel proud of my achievements. And the other is a humble way that costs you something. Actually, you have to give up everything that you have in order to get this answer. And when Jesus was speaking to people, this is what he said to them. You've heard of the Sermon on the Mount. It's when Jesus laid out his blueprint for life, his manifesto for the kingdom of God. He said, this is what humanity at its best looks like. It's people loving their enemies. It's people turning the other cheek. It's people refusing to judge, to condemn. It's people rejecting hypocrisy and religiosity. It's people living in the full love of God. And at the end of that, Matthew is writing all this down. He records how Jesus brings this Sermon on the Mount to a close. And he says this, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Does that mean that there's only one way to do the broad road? No, it's like Bohr's barometer. You can take this big, broad path and you can do a whole host of different things. You can be materialistic or you can be artistic. You can be creative or you can be focused on relationships. You can be career-driven. You can be money-driven. You can do it a whole host of different ways. But it's all the same road. It's all the same path. It's all heading in the same direction. Or you can go through this narrow gate. Jews at the time, they lived in these cities, and because these were not secure times, cities had walls around them. Jerusalem, great example, had a wall around it just to keep out invaders. And these walls would be punctuated at different points by gates. And you had different kinds of gates. So people knew what Jesus was talking about when he talks about gates and narrow gates and wide gates. Some of them you could get a whole host of people through. They'd be a huge thoroughfare. You could get animals going through all together. You could get carriages, horses, crowds of people surging through these wide open gates. But you'd find these, and you can still see them today in Jerusalem, little narrow gates.
that you would have to move one at a time, sometimes going up through steep, narrow steps in order to get through. Something a whole lot less convenient. And Jesus says, there's two ways to do life. Only two ways. One, do your own thing. Rely on yourself. Live for yourself. You do you. But the other is you come and you look for help and you walk the difficult, challenging path. Put your hand up if you've ever heard the expression straight and narrow. Being on the straight and narrow. Okay, most people here. English expression. So people will say, oh, I'm keeping on the straight and narrow, Philip, which means I'm being a good boy. I'm not straying off the path. I'm keeping kind of straight and narrow. Well, actually, it comes from this passage because in the old English, the King James Version, the old version from the 1600s, it actually says, instead of small, it says the word straight. It says straight is the gate and narrow the road. At least that's what I thought it says. But it doesn't say that actually. What it says in the old version, the old English version, is not the word straight as in linear, straightforward. It's actually this word straight. So the word straight as in dire straits. When you are going through a strait like the Gibraltar Straits, it's a narrow patch of water connecting two seas where suddenly instead of having the broad open oceans to navigate, you've got to go through this tricky, rocky, challenging, treacherous, narrow path. Straits. It's where we get the word straitjacket from, which is really odd because I just thought a straitjacket was a straight jacket. But it's actually spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. Because you're constrained. You're held harness in it. It's not a comfortable door. And Jesus is saying this. He says, in order to get into the way that I am offering, it's actually a difficult thing. Okay, let me just take a little moment out here. I'm deviating again. But I want to say this. There are some of you, and you have come here, maybe you're in Bristol for the very first few days, and you've arrived. And actually, you've come from a church background. And I don't know whether you are saying this for your own benefit or whether you're trying to please somebody else, but you're basically at church because you think, I want to be good and I want to, you know, show willing. But you're probably just a couple of different choices away from losing the church habit entirely. Did you know that when it comes to students attending university, 50% of all students that come from a Christian background end up losing their way with faith? They stop going to church entirely within the first few weeks. Because now it's your choice, it's your thing. And if you think, actually, this church business, this faith business, it's really challenging. I mean, I'm in a situation where everybody around me is doing the other thing. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, look, there's this broad door, this gate which is wide, and this path which is broad, and it's like a super highway, and everybody's finding this. Everybody's doing this. This is the default option. And if you go through this other door, through this other gate, onto this other path, that is the minority report. That's the challenging thing. That is the one where you feel exposed and difficult. You feel like you are subject to ridicule or condemnation, or people will say, you're narrow-minded. And Jesus says, yeah, but you need to be narrow-minded. Because this is not about a narrow-mindedness that refuses to think. It's the opposite. It's about a narrow-mindedness that chooses a narrow path, because sometimes the difficult thing to do is the right one. Sometimes going through the challenging way, doing the thing which is not the popular option, actually, that's the very thing that tells you that you are on the right track. And I'm not going to lie, for many of you, coming into the new environments that you're in will be intensely challenging. And you'll be tempted to just park your faith. Because you think, well, I do believe all that stuff, but in practice, it's too hard to commit to it. Jesus said, Don't let anybody tell you that the Christian life is easy. Don't let anybody give you these false kinds of promises. Just give your life to Jesus, it'll be a bed of roses. It'll be wonderful. You'll be just blessed and happy, and you'll have all your prayers answered, and life will be just a full, fun, exciting. Actually, Jesus says, it's great, but it's tough. It's challenging, and only a few people find it, and only a few people stick with it. And so you've got these two contrasting things. And it's very much an either or proposition. You can't mix and match. It's either or. So you've got two gates, you've got two roads, you've got two crowds. So a broad gate and a narrow gate. Straight, that English word, like I said, it just means constrained and narrow and challenging. So it's a different gate. Then you've got the road. It's not just a matter of going through the gate. Oh, I'm now a Christian. I believe the right things. Now I can do whatever I like. No, you've got to walk the path. So you've got this other road. And then you've got the crowds of people. All the people, the majority of the people are going the opposite direction, the opposite road, the opposite way, having whatever they want, doing whatever they want. But he said, doesn't stop there. There's two destinations. And this is where it gets challenging and tricky. Because Jesus says, you can enter through this gate or that gate, your choice. And you can continue to walk on that road or this road, your choice. But one of them leads to destruction and one of them leads to life. And you don't get to choose. Once you've chosen that road, it is only going one way. He says, one of these roads, it leads to destruction. Do you know, I've been preaching for a long time, and it's getting easier and easier to make the case that living a life just for yourself and living a life that conforms to what the world and culture at large tells us to do, it's becoming easier and easier to make the case that that is a road that actually leads to destruction. Put your hands up if you know what happened on July the 3rd this year. Anyone? There wasn't it? Yes, Steve. Steve was here in the morning service. He's already heard this. He knows it. Steve, tell our good friends what happened on July the 3rd.
It was a record
global temperature. The hottest recorded day for planet Earth in human history. Do you know what happened on July the 4th? The Tuesday after the Monday. Steve, tell them.
Higher again.
It was higher. The record was broken the very next day, and then the record was equaled the very next day after that. July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th. Our oceans are boiling. Our ecosphere is collapsing. The Arctic ice is melting. We have flash floods. We have catastrophic climate events. And our world that says, just do what you want, enjoy, indulge, consume, all that stuff, it puts us on a road. And we're all beginning to see, oh my goodness, it's a road that's taking us down the path of ruin. And our culture that says, enjoy yourself, indulge in any pleasure. Don't let anyone tell you that you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that or you should be boundaried here. Actually, just if it feels good, do it. And yet, we have a society and a culture which is facing an epidemic of mental health challenges, depression, anxiety, social isolation on the rise. And instead of all these wonderful, happy relationships, we are seeing more loneliness. Loneliness at levels that have never been seen before. Life, happiness, all those kind of indices of how much people are satisfied with life, they're plummeting right now. Why? Because we're doing all these things and we're indulging, we're going and we're doing us and we're having all these wonderful ways to do life, but it's not delivering. Jesus says, listen, the path that I offer, it's a narrow gate, it's challenging. And it's a narrow road, you've got to keep on it. It's hard, it's tough. It will tax you at times. But this is a road that leads to life. The narrow road leads to life. And a little side note here, but that word life that Jesus used, because the Bible was written in Greek, they're able to use this much more expressive vocabulary. And there's different words in Greek for the word life. One of the most normal ones, the one that you would use ordinarily for life, is bios, which is where we get biology, the study of life. It means physical life, you know, existence, being. I am alive. I am a living thing. Bios. But Jesus doesn't use that word. Jesus says, I want to give you so much more than just bios. I'm not giving you a life that's just going to be existence, that's snuffed out after 70, 80 years. I'm going to give you Zoe. That's a great word. Zoe is the word for life that means exuberance, life in all its fullness. It's a life that is abundant, a life that is blessed. And when Jesus takes a hold of it, he often, more often than not, puts it together with the word for eternity or eons, the life abundant of the ages. Here's my problem. I was brought up, maybe like some of you, in a Christian family. So I was used to going to church. And I heard people, I heard Christians, I heard preachers talk about the narrow gate. And do you know what? I was pretty confident and pretty sure that I had entered through the narrow gate. Why? Well, I prayed a prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my life. I believed the right things. I was basically a card-carrying Christian. I'd entered through the narrow gate. But you know, for so many years as a young Christian, I wasn't really walking the narrow path. I thought you just enter through the narrow gate, you get your little ticket to heaven, and then you just do you. You do life. You just carry on. You are like everybody else. And that was kind of my default position. Because the narrow gate, the narrow road, the narrow path, the narrow lifestyle, that's too challenging. That's too awful. I mean, none of my friends are into this stuff. So it's just too hard. It's too difficult. And I don't know that I trust that if I give my life fully over to God, that it's going to go well for me. I feel like I'm going to be one of these weird Christians, you know, always dressed in black, carrying a big Christian black Bible, only drink milk from a Christian cow, just odd, weird Christian. And so I held off and I thought, well, this is it. To be a Christian just means I've been through the gate, I've prayed the prayer, I've asked Jesus into my life. When I do something wrong, I say, I'm sorry, I ask for forgiveness, just make sure that I'm on the right side of the man upstairs. But I am not really, if I'm honest, walking through that narrow path because it's too narrow and it's too challenging and I'm taking the broad road, just like everybody else. Why would I not? But I remember something clicked. And if I can put it like this, the main thing that changed for me was that I realized that for so much of my life, I'd been making a mistake. I had completely got the wrong end of the stick about faith because I thought that faith and what Jesus talked about was just following rules, doing practices, living a certain kind of way, following regulations. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, narrow is the gate and narrow is the path and few that find it. And here is the narrow path. A, you do this. B, you follow it up with that. C, you make sure that you floss. He didn't say that. He actually said this, and this changes everything. And for some of you here tonight and for some of you watching, this will change everything. He says, you misunderstand what the gate is. When Jesus was talking to a crowd, John, his best friend, records these words. John chapter 10, he says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another time with his disciples, just gathered around a meal, he said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, the gate, The path, it isn't some 12-step program. It isn't some prescribed legalistic religious formula. It isn't some kind of way of trying to do all these things to please the man upstairs. It's a person. It's a relationship. And what happened for me, and what changed everything for me, is that I had a little insight into who Jesus is. I can remember to this very day, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember coming to a point where I just felt like that God had caught up with me, the love of God had caught up with me. And I remember just being in my bedroom and having this very private, but very spiritual time. And I'm praying and I'm reading my Bible, and tears start to stream down my face because I see Jesus, not physically, not literally, but I see for the first time who he is and what he's done for me. Listen, if you don't know about the Christian message, let me tell you what I said at the very beginning. You are loved. You are loved by God. Loved so much that he gave everything for you. That God didn't just stay in splendid isolation up in heaven. He came, embodied himself in human form. He became weak, vulnerable, became a child, grew up, lived a life unlike anybody has ever lived a life before. And this wonderful, wonderful embodiment of everything that it is to be fully, 100% truly human, God showing us how it's done, he gave up his life, the caretaker, he gave up his life on a cross so that my sin, my shame, my brokenness, my mess, my challenge, all of it could be taken upon himself. And he lived a perfect life. He died an awful death and he rose again. And it was as if I could see Jesus speaking to me and saying, Philip, if I love you so much that I would give my life for you, can you not trust your life to me? And I said, but Lord, it's a narrow way. This is tough. This is going against the tide. This is challenging. I'd be misunderstood by people who think that I'm some kind of holier-than-thou religious type. And I'm not sure about if I give you full reign and full control and my finances are yours and my career is yours and my energy is yours and my future is yours and my dreams are yours. It's a narrow way. It's a difficult path. But Jesus stands before us and he says, I love you so much. I gave my life for you and I am the gate. And don't think for a minute that you have to live this life in your own strength. That's crazy talk. It's impossible. You can't do that. None of us here can live the Christian life. We're kidding ourselves if we think that we can. But Jesus says, listen, enter through me. And let me take you into this new way of life. And as we go through the way, it's not just some path that I'm telling you to walk on. I am the path. I am the way. And I will lead you to life, to Zoe, to exuberant, eternal, unending life. Jesus says, anyone who believes in me, even though they die, they will yet live because I will put such a dynamic life in you, a life powered by the love of God, that it will never end. And they will only become more glorious. And the challenges and the difficulties and the narrowness is just a fleeting, momentary thing because your future is so expansive and so wonderful. Because that other path, it is enticing and everyone goes down it. And everyone is telling themselves, well, I'm doing my thing. Actually, they're just doing what everyone else is doing. But in the end, it leads to death. It leads to estrangement from God. But this other way, where I go to the caretaker and I say, here's what I have. Would you help me? Would you give me the answer that I'm looking for? This is a life that is superpowered. At Metro, we have this saying. We talk about find, love, follow, serve. We want to help people find Jesus and love one another. then follow Jesus and serve the city and the wider world. Why? Because so many Christians stop at the, well, I found Jesus, I've gone through the gate. But few say, I am going to go along this road. So who are we? Honestly, we're not that impressive. We are just a bunch of people who love Jesus. And we're trying to help each other love one another. And we're trying to learn what it is to follow Jesus, because that's what it means to walk along the road. And then to serve the city, because that's what he's called us to do. And to serve the wider world and to love the poor. And we will do it in whatever ways that we can, because it's not enough just to say, well, I've gone through the gate. You have to walk through the path. You've got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You've got to go along the road. And that is really a kind of, that's what Jesus is offering us today. He's saying, look, you can go this way and everyone else is doing it and I don't blame you and I don't judge you if you go that way. But you just need to know that there's a dead end waiting at the destination. But what I am offering you is a way that, yes, is hard, but it's not hard when you do it with Jesus. It's a bit like, you know, being married to Kate. We've been married for 28 years. Got married when I was 10. And we've had challenging times. Even this last week has been a little bit of a challenge. But when you go through it with someone that loves you, suddenly it doesn't seem so bad at all. A million times more when you go through life and when it's challenging and when there's sacrifice. You know, next week we're going to talk about the kind of the God, the idol of radical self-expressive individualism. You've got to come back for that, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to deconstruct it a little bit. We're going to talk about vampires, and we're going to talk about tech bros, and we're going to talk about how Jesus calls us to something radically different. So come back to that. Bring a friend. You'll not regret it. But it is this journey that Jesus takes us on. Lex is going to talk in a couple of weeks about the way of love. I tell you what, I wouldn't trade that for anything. To be within this community where together we're walking with one another, with Jesus, through the way of love. But Jesus says, and this is where I want to end. He says, it's a narrow gate and it's a narrow, straight, constrained, constricting, challenging, difficult path that leads to life. And then he says, and there's few that find it. And here's the thing. This is a final thought for us. When Jesus says the word find, again, the nuance to what he's saying has two distinct meanings. On the one hand, find as in I've looked for it, I've searched. And we encourage people to look and to search, to investigate, which is why we do things like the Alpha course. If you've got questions or you just want to brush up on the basics, come to my house. I'll make you a drink. We'll do the Alpha course together. It's a lot of fun. Johnny, you're welcome. And it's a good thing to investigate. It's a good thing to explore. You should be able to ask difficult questions and you should be able to wrestle with the answers. And so when Jesus says, few that find it, it's people that are finding, they're searching and they're looking and they're investigating and then they find it. But there's another kind of finding, and that is literally the diametric opposite. It's the person that just stumbles on something. Ooh. I found another gate. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that existed in Jerusalem. Oh, I'll try this one. Oh, it's quite good. There's something about it. And many of you, you're probably like me. I kind of found this thing almost by accident, just because I had family who found it. I had family that investigated, did all the hard work, and then I kind of lucked into it. But Jesus says, it doesn't matter how you come to it. There is something. For some of us, we found it. Now we just need to consolidate and say, Jesus, I'm intimidated, but will you help me walk through this gate and walk through this path? And for others of us, we have to actually go looking for it. We have to investigate. And here's no pressure, no strings attached invitation to you. Let's investigate together. Let's ask some questions together. Let's see what we get. Because the stakes are so amazing. If this is true, if it's right, life in all its fullness is waiting for us. But I'd like us to pray. And I'd like us just to take a little moment to think about, what road am I on? Where am I headed? Particularly at a transition point. Because some of you, actually, this is a time when you could get off the path. And for others of you, this is a time where actually you double down. And you say, no, I'm sticking to this path. For some of you, it's like, no, I want to find this path for myself. I'm not sure if this is the right gate. I need to investigate. I need to find. But wherever we are at, all I'm asking is that we take a moment to have an open mind and an open heart. And we give God just the merest chance and say, God, if you want to come close to me, if you want to help me, if you want to speak to me, if you want to show yourself to me, then I'm willing. Because the moment that I prayed, kneeling by my bed all those years ago, I never looked back. Jesus never let me down. The way, not always easy, but glorious, full of life, because it is Jesus. Let's pray. I'm just going to give a simple prayer. And I just invite you to pray this prayer. It's just between you and God. And it's a prayer that's going to say something along the lines of, dear God, if you are wanting to reach out to me, I'm open to you. It's a prayer of openness. It's a prayer opening the door, asking Jesus to help you find the gate and walk the way, asking Jesus to give you the strength, asking Jesus to show himself to you, for you to know him. Because when you see Jesus, it changes everything. And of course, you're going to go down that path because it is wonderful, because he is wonderful. So I'm just going to pray a little prayer along those lines. And if you want to, just echo these words in your own heart. And then I'll just do a closing prayer and we'll end with some worship. But here's the prayer. You just make this your own. Dear God, you know my life. You know my every waking thought. You know my background. You know my struggles. If you want to lead me forward, I'm open. I want to know Jesus better. I don't want to be on a road headed for destruction. I want to get myself on the road that leads to life. You know the challenges I face with that. But I pray, Jesus, you show me. Show me your love. Show me your reality. Show me your presence. Let me find you. Lead me on this path. Bring me into life eternal. I open myself up to you now. In simple faith, in the name of Jesus. And Father, my prayer for these guys is this. I want to pray, Lord God, that you would be so close. And I want to pray that whatever else I've said, that message that you are loved would resonate with them, that it would ring in their ears as they go home tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would be calling and drawing all of us closer to Jesus. And I pray that we would be people who can demonstrate this new life, this way, that we'd be followers of the way, that join others to this way as well and invite others to take the path with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.